Welcome to you on this Monday. I'll tell you, boy, what is happening in the world? Is it crazy out there or what? You know, you begin to wonder about people and what they think and how they treat each other and lack of treating each other. Boy, there's some craziness going on in the world. I mean, on the brink of war. The Middle East is on the brink of war. We've got 25,000 Americans stranded in Lebanon, including students at the American University there. You know, please, please, if nothing else today from the show, I ask you please to just keep your spirit a positive thing, keep it calm, see if we can send good vibrations, good feelings, positive thoughts overseas for these people to not want to be a part of this chaos in the world. There is chaos and we don't want to have that happening. So please, please send your really, really good positive feelings today. We need that more than anything else. Your prayers are much appreciated too. Believe me. We've got a great show on Pop Off today. Welcome to the show. I'm Mary Jane Pop, and I had a great weekend. Hope you did too, even though all this insanity is going on. Hopefully it will settle down. But, you know, it's one of those things where all we can do is hope for the best and hope that people will find a path that will keep them calm and get them back to the table talking instead of trying to kill each other. What a world we live in these days. But we're going to give you some positive things today on the show, including... gentlemen, this is really important because I am such a supporter of the men and women that are overseas right now fighting the battle for us. And we're going to talk about a thing called PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. And we saw it in Vietnam. We've seen it in all the wars, let's put it that way. But it seems to be much more drastic, much, much more drastic in this war with Iraq and Afghanistan, et cetera. We'll find out why and maybe what you and I can do to help these men and women when they come back. In addition to that, we'll talk a little bit about the business end of things, but not from necessarily, how to make money and how to be greedy, but how to set things up and have an ethical base. Can you still be ethical and be in business? I'm beginning to wonder these days when you try and deal with some of these people. But hopefully we've got some answers for you. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the immigration problem from a different point of view. We have a psychologist on who deals with immigrants, legal and illegal. We're going to find out from his read as to what these people are all about. All of us are immigrants or had immigrant grandparents or great-grandparents or whatever. We all came from someplace else. That's what America's all about. We're a melting pot of wonderful people from all over the world. But is it different today? And if it is, what does it mean to you and me? How are we going to handle it? And speaking about different, I'm telling you folks, this is something we really need to find out. What is this week going to be like? We got this thing called Mercury in a retrograde, which means communication's really stinky. We're moving backwards instead of forward. That's a bad thing. But maybe, maybe not. Let's look at the numbers with our pop-off psychic numerologist, Esther Baer. She knows the news. She's got the information. Hopefully she can help us out this week, at least to get through the week. Hey, Esther, how goes it today?
Oh, pretty good, other than it's being hot.
Yeah,
it's
very
going
well, you know
good.
What? It is hot. You can stick a pin in the map any place in the country today.
I know.
And it is like boiling.
Yeah, I saw the U.S. map, and anybody has any cool weather.
Isn't it crazy?
Oh, it's nasty out there.
Does it have something to do with the stars and the planets or the numbers, or
actually,
is it just weather?
Actually, it has to do with the numbers. The numbers, we started our major completion cycle last year,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to go for all of this year and in one more year. That's why... all the people are going out crazy and the wars and whatever.
Really?
When we're in a completion cycle, everything gets crazy.
Hmm.
and everybody has no patience, and everybody wants to whoop everybody's butt. It's real fun.
Yeah, but the question is, are we going to survive till that time's over?
Oh, yeah. It's things that need to be settled and removed so we can get back into a brand new cycle.
Okay.
Which will start, we'd see, this year we have, we have 3 more years in this cycle, and then we have 9 more years after that, and then we start all over. So there'll be a lot of changes, a lot of information coming in, a lot of things that we need to know to get into the new cycle.
Will it be positive, I hope?
If we learn our lessons in this cycle, you betcha.
Okay.
And that's going to be, you know, it's, if the politicians won't learn anything or not, that's besides the point.
They're hopeless.
Yeah.
It's going to take the common civilian, the person out there that just says, I'm going to make a difference.
Oh, yeah. Now, for you and me, you know, what we're doing in this cycle is we're getting rid of stuff, we're getting rid of people, conditions, things that we don't need. That's why people don't have any patience.
Mm.
And that's why the road rage is crazy and people are doing stupid things out there. It's getting rid of so we can make plans for our new cycles, because we're all going to go in the cycles at the same time.
Okay.
So we need to basically clean house. I mean, you're going through everything in your life that you don't need anymore, and you have 2 to 3 years to make this transition to go into your brand new cycle.
So get rid of the garbage and settle in on something that's going to be positive and move forward.
You betcha.
Okay.
That's why people want to change jobs now. And this is not a good time to really make changes, but it's a good time to make plans to make the changes.
Okay.
So some people can make changes this year. Next year is not a good time at all for anybody. That's just getting rid of everything.
And communication.
And then when you get into the
following
difficult year, then it's good changes.
Why is that?
If you start anything in a completion cycle, it takes longer to get it going. You have to fight a lot of adversities.
Yeah.
So if you do it in the order you're supposed to, you know, there's times to start, there's times to make changes, there's times to throw things away, there's times to bring new things in, even after you've made the changes, and there's times in a 9-year cycle when you can rearrange what you're doing when you start brand new.
Okay.
So in the last 3 years is completion. So there's things you need to take care of. The 7th cycle is take care of your health and have alone time, you know, so you don't burn out and you don't get crazy. That's what everybody went through last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year is getting rid of things that are costing you money, taking your control back, basically clean up anything that is money or finance related, pay off your bills, you know, just miscellaneous, get rid of people who are costing you money.
Oh boy.
And then next year is the major house cleaning. That's getting rid of everything you didn't do in the first 2 years.
Gotcha.
So next year is major house cleaning. That's stripping everything down, throwing everything away that you don't need, because the following year is brand new.
Now,
so
let's look at something more immediate. This week, are we going to survive this week? Let's just get through 1 week at a time.
We can make it through the heat, you betcha. Just, you know, you really need to. I mean, this month and this week all has to do with emotional stuff.
Okay.
And the emotional stuff you have to watch out for, because with the heat, people get more irritated and more nasty, or they've had a fight with their spouse, and they go take it out on people on the streets. And this is emotions talking, and since it's very high emotions, people get crazier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that you have to watch out for. You know,
I had a situation like that last week.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were getting shot. Kids were getting, you know, run over. I mean, this is just not good.
Awful.
And this is not necessarily going to go away. That's why if you have a problem with things like that, just walk away. You know, walk away from it, because if you don't, it's going to create more problems.
Yeah, just going to run up against the wall anyway, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is just get rid of, throw it away, and if you can't get rid of it now, walk away from it and settle it later.
Okay.
Because if you don't, you're going to get crazy and emotions, and you're going to say things you don't want to say, and then the other person is going to react, and there could be, you know, a lot of battles going on.
Wow.
Even at home. And the people you're closest to usually are the worst. Because those are the ones you vent to, and that can create a lot of problems in relationships.
So keep a cool head.
Oh, you betcha.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, Esther, how can they do that? Well, let's make sure they can get a hold of you, okay?
Oh, they can call me at 916-427-8727.
Once again.
916-427-8727.
Fantastic. Well, Esther, I want to thank you so much for joining us, as always, on Monday to give us a good idea and give us a boost for the week.
Oh, not a problem. And just tell everybody to keep their cool, and literally, physically, and emotionally, and we'll be fine.
You betcha. And if nothing else, we'll warn them.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Esther.
Thank you, sweetie. You have a good day.
You too. Take care, love.
All righty.
Just remember, folks, the numbers know on Pop-Off. It is amazing how sometimes just knowing those numbers and kind of getting a warning ahead of time will help you. Talk about warnings. If you're talking about anything that has to do with business or business ethics or business tips, well, then you got to listen in on this one because people are starting their own little businesses even at home. And in order to do that, you better know what you're getting yourself into. It is the heat of the night. When you're thinking about anything that has to do with business, it takes a lot of energy to get started on something that's brand new or a brand new idea or a brand new concept. All those get extremely difficult in life. But, you know, there are ways that you can do things. Lots of folks dream about starting a business of their very own. And it could be something at home. It could be a new idea, a new concept, whatever it happens to be. But is there a dark side that you need to be aware of? Well, yes, there's Larry Spiegel. He's a business lawyer who can walk us through the legal pitfalls that trip us up as an entrepreneur. And Larry is also chairman of Spiegel and Atrella, or Atretra. I have to get the right spelling on that. It's a law firm that helps the business guy from taking a header. And it's also an ethical bomb that we have to deal with. Hey, Larry, nice to have you with us on Pop-Off.
Good afternoon, Mary Jane. How are you?
Well, you know, I have to ask you a quick question, because with business anymore, I don't know if people even trust people when they even start a new business, because we're looking at the ethical side of it, and it seems like all business is not as ethical as it should be.
Well, that's true. Our goal most of the time is to try to protect our clients from potential pitfalls that they may encounter along the way. Initially, what we're looking for our clients to do is to either incorporate a business by forming a corporation or setting up a limited liability company. The idea there is to insulate them from personal liability. And if they would take that first step initially, that will save them a lot of problems down the road.
So that's the secret to a successful business. Set up a corporation or a limited, it's like an LLC is what they call it, right?
That's right. I wouldn't say that is the secret. I think that's probably the first step. Everybody has their own idea about what their business ought to be from an operational standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I have seen, having represented tens of thousands of people, I have seen people fail, and I have seen people succeed. I have seen people fail and then succeed. So it can be an ongoing learning process, but success it's not impossible by any means.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think the future, and it's already here, I think the future is already here, that people are starting their own businesses. It's not the big Fortune 500s or the Ford Motor Companies or the GMs that are doing the business anymore. It's the little guy.
Without a doubt, and I don't like to refer to them as small businesses, Mary Jane. I like the word micro businesses. I feel that the word small is demeaning, because there are so many micro businesses in the United States. They are the backbone of the country. They are employing more people than large corporations, and they are contributing more to our economic well-being.
You bet. And not only that, a lot of people are starting even businesses on the side, micro-businesses, while they're doing another kind of work. And I would think that's another thing. Don't just give up what you're doing. Maybe you can kind of transition into something.
There are many people that have hobbies that then lead to a business on the side, which then leads to a full-blown business where they devote all their time and attention to it. That's not unusual. That is a normal progression for many types of business. And I'm sure that there are many of your listeners that have successful businesses that went through those very steps.
Absolutely. What about risk? How much risk should a new person, even if they have something that is, it has to be a passion, I would think, too. You got to be passionate about something. You got to really believe in something before you take the plunge.
Well, I think risk can be as associated with what you are willing to do and what kind of commitments you are willing to make. Also, it depends on the type of business, obviously. But there are certain things that you can encounter when you're in business for yourself, especially initially, that require you to sign agreements, contracts, leases. And there's where we have to be extremely careful.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we go back to the idea of setting up an entity, either a corporation or an LLC, allowing that to take on the primary obligation. And by all means, trying to avoid at all costs giving any kind of personal guarantee.
There you go.
There are times when personal guarantees are unavoidable because of the transaction we may want to enter into.
Sure.
But what I have found is that even in those situations, we can limit the amount of the personal guarantee. We can look to the rationale behind the necessity that the other party wants the guarantee. And if we look at that and analyze it carefully, we can figure out what the real exposure may be and then try to cover that without giving an unlimited personal guarantee.
You know, Larry, I really believe that a person, if they have a passion for something, if they really truly believe in what they want to do, you need to go for it, because otherwise, later on down the line, you'll always regret trying, not trying. And at least if you tried and didn't make it, at least you gave it your best shot.
Well, I'd like to believe that you don't have to try it and run the risk of not making it. I really do not believe that's in the cards. I think that everybody can make a success with their own business with the proper planning up front and moving forward. And that's without getting into the scale of the business. In other words, we talked about starting off converting a hobby into a side business or converting the side business into a full-time business. These are all steps along the way. Each one has varying degrees of risks, but I believe that success is within reach in all of these endeavors.
Fantastic. And now, I know you have a website that people can go to get some good information, right?
Yeah, we would recommend that people go to our website. It's called amerilawyer.com. That's A-M-E-R-I, lawyer, all one word, .com. There's a wealth of information that they can find there. It will help them in starting their business. It will explain to them in depth the advantages of forming an entity such as a corporation or a limited liability company. It will get into the tax advantages of these entities. It will talk about the limiting of the responsibilities and the personal obligations associated with starting a business.
And I'm glad you said those are key words, the personal obligation. Know that you have obligations to the people that you're going to be doing business with. We need to get back to some of those old standards that we had at the very beginning of the country where the handshake really counted a lot, but I know you need to have all that paperwork to cover everything these days.
We are in a completely different era today, and some of it, to some degree, has taken a step backwards because we cannot keep up with the processes with the electronic media, email, and so forth. There is more than ever reliance on somebody's word or bond or even an email.
And that's not a bad thing.
Not necessarily. No, it's not.
That's why know who you're getting into business with and then trust. A lot of trust has to be there when you start a business. That's for darn sure.
Well, that is important, but we have to take very careful steps to minimize our reliance on that as much as possible.
You betcha. Now, again, that's AmeriLawyer, A-M-E-R-I, lawyer.com, correct?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Larry, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and by golly, we actually got advice and didn't have to pay for it.
Well, Mary Jane, thank you for having me, and I hope you have a great day, and good luck to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. Once again, that's Larry Spiegel, and it's AmeriLawyer.com. So check it out. You get some good information. Normally, you go to a lawyer, and right away, you know, it's a couple $100 an hour, $300 an hour, depending on how fancy they are or how fancy their office is. It's going to cost you. So this one will give you some good information. Again, that's AmeriLawyer.com. I'll put it up on PopOff.com in case you don't, if you're not, don't have something handy that you can write with or you're doing something else. Get ahead in a positive way. That's what we're trying to do on PopOff, and we will continue to do that. Talking about the positive, you know, we want to make things positive for those men and women when they come home from Iraq and Afghanistan and God knows where else it's going to be, because the whole Middle East seems to be blowing up and going crazy. And in order to do that, we need to know what's going to happen to these men and women when they come back. And there's a thing called PTSD. That's post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to talk about that because it's something we have to face. We faced it when they came back from Vietnam. We've actually faced it from every war. But this one is worse than ever before. Why? Well, we're going to find out why from a man who went through it and is trying to help all the men and women when they come back so they don't have to go through it. You only live twice. Well, in some cases, you only live once if you're going to have to face some major, major problems. And we want to be able to get around some of those problems for you. I mean, what kinds of issues face an American, our American troops, when Johnny comes marching home from Iraq or Afghanistan or from any place around the world? How about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? Well, Michael Payne knows all about that. He faced it after the Vietnam War. But he tells me that today is worse, much worse, as troops leave the Middle East. But unfortunately, the Middle East does not leave our troops. Michael, nice to have you back with us on Pop Off.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we got talking a little bit about this thing called PTSD the last time. And let's just review for those who may not have heard the show. What are some of the signs, some of the symptoms of PTSD?
Well, depression. A depression that comes over you and for no explainable or logical reason. It's just like a cloud that comes into your life and it hovers on you and envelops you and just doesn't seem to lift, or if it does lift temporarily due to a joyful or a happy circumstance around you, then and you say, you think maybe you're out of it, and then it's right back upon you again at another unexpected time soon after. And then it just kind of settles in, and as I tell people, I used to go to watch the Redskins play all the time. You can be sitting in 56,000 people yelling and screaming and still feel alone.
Really?
And so, you know, as we start withdrawing and not wanting to be around those who are concerned about us, but yet we'll sit in, I remember sitting in the bars and commiserating with other veterans, and which does not make the circumstance any better, talking about those days, and only you think, you know, you have your own little clique and depression, what's called bipolar, up, then down, then back up, and all over the place, and sleeplessness, not being able to go to sleep as a normal person. You know, I worked hard. I've worked hard all my life, and 70, 75 hours a week in those days when I was self-employed, and then you still couldn't go to sleep in the evenings.
Okay.
And drinking to dull that and knock yourself out, and smoking pot all evening just to get numb and go to bed and hope to get 5 or 6 hours straight sleep.
Okay.
A lot of these men suffering from PTSD, especially the ones that have been right in the battle zones, recurring nightmares. My mother's 95 years old. I happen to, she had a little episode, and she's on dialysis, and she couldn't get in there until 6 in the evening. So I went to pick her up at an unusual time of 10 p.m., and there happened to be a man sitting in there, and I had never seen before. And so I just said hello to him, and quickly we discovered that we were both veterans. And he quickly said that, yes, he had I said something about working with veterans, and he said PTSD, and I said yes. And he quickly said, oh, yes, I have that. And I still have nightmares, recurring nightmares, 2 and 3 times a week. And this is 40 years after Vietnam.
I need to ask you a quick question, though. Why is it, and, you know, thank God, my husband was a Vietnam vet, and he came back, everything was normal. Thank you, God. But why is it that some get it and some don't?
Well, I, as you know, we had a short conversation. I contend that it is a spiritual attack, and some succumb to these things. There was, you know, we have voids in us when we're looking for fulfillment in our lives, and at 18 or 19 years old, it was, I assumed that my life, I was going to work hard, I was going to be married to one woman, I was going to have a family, provide for them well, and they were going to love me, and I was going to be happy, and we all know that doesn't work. So, as a rule.
Well, is it expectations then? You didn't have your expectations met?
Well, your expectations aren't met, and that bubble pops, but, you know, we get into a place of anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, and where, you know, in the Bible it talks about it, God talks of it as murmuring, where you're constantly grumbling about your circumstance, and you know how that's what we like to do in American society. We like to grumble, you know, say, well, it could be better, or things are okay, but it could be better. But, you know, we're constantly striving for a place of fulfillment.
Yeah, I call it witching and moaning.
I'm sorry?
I call it witching and moaning.
There you go. Same thing. And it therefore we're... We're always complaining, and this instead of saying, you know, we are truly a blessed nation overall. You know, I've been to Iraq 3 times. I've been to Israel once. I'm going back to Israel this coming Sunday for 2 weeks, and which just is kind of a quick trip that's just come up since all this has started. But there are people who live in circumstances around this world. We are isolated and insulated from these things. And the sad thing is, and I believe we're in for a pretty heavy blow here in the not too distant future, in that one of these terrorist attacks is going to get through on us, and there's going to be this, this realization, just like the day of 9/11 hitting us again, that we're not as invincible as we used to be and that we think we are.
Well, you know, what really is frightening, I mean, look what's happening in the world right now.
Yes.
Strife, war, on the brink of war. People are killing each other. Civilians are dying in the middle. What is going on? It seems like after the year 2000, we would have learned something. We started a new millennium. We should be looking at a spiritual value, a spiritual path, and we're worse than we were before.
Well, spiritual path envelops a huge arena in that, you know, when we say, you know, everything has a spiritual aspect to it, and not all spiritual things are honorable. There is good and there is evil. And what is going on, the Arab community overall is set upon eliminating the nation of Israel. And to be biblical about it, God gave the land that is currently called Israel to the Jew 4,000 years ago, and they haven't, you know, they've been conquered several different times. Rome conquered them. The Arab world has conquered them, and but they have maintained a presence in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel all through that period. Not always as obviously in the strength that they are now, or even of the times of David. But not to get into that, but Iran, without any hesitation, has stood within the last 6 months, many different occasions, and even a month ago, and said that they are set upon wiping the Jew from the face of Israel.
Well, you know, let's get back to talking a little bit about the PTSD, though.
Okay.
When the troops come home, what can we do for them? What can we do to help these men and women when they come back?
Well, all I can do is witness to you how I was set free from sleeplessness at night. Did not have the recurring nightmares. That wasn't a problem with me, but I was in a, I was at a place of depression that did not lift. I was, I remember going to have a physical at the age of 49 years old, and it was a, he was a new specialist who had taken the place of the other gentleman, doctor that I'd been going to on a yearly basis, and he said, "Let's just talk a little bit," and I just started talking, and the next thing I knew, I am just broken down right in front of me. I've never done that before, and I just fell to pieces right there in front of him for no reason, it seemed to me, unexplainable, and he's prescribing antidepressants for me. And I took him about 10 days and decided that wasn't the avenue that I was going to go down, but there was a place of continually believing there, I was never going to come out of that place in life, that hopelessness in life, that despair that was constantly upon me. And I didn't have the strength physically or emotionally to rebuild the business that I once had and start it all over again.
You know, but Michael, I mean, what is it going to take then? Drugs? I hope not.
What it took for me, psychology for 10 years did not work for me, and he was a highly regarded and highly thought of psychologist in the Washington, D.C. area. That didn't work for me. Alcohol and drugs and adultery didn't work for me. The money didn't work for me. And the only thing that worked for me was coming to Jesus Christ and deciding I would, I had no place else to go, and my next step was suicide.
So in other words, some sort of spirituality. In other words, we have to have a belief in something, something that will focus us and get us on the path of positive to go moving forward instead of looking backward.
Well, that's absolutely what delivered me. And I would, again, I have to say what the Bible says, and Jesus says that he is the only way, and he is the way for me, and I have to express I don't believe yoga is going to do it, and I don't believe meditation is going to do it, though the Bible
says...
Well,
no, Michael, I've got to be honest with you.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't work for you, but it may work for somebody else. Yoga might work. Meditation might work. Spirituality might work.
I'm not saying it won't.
It has to be what each person needs to have in their particular life to bring them out of it.
Right. I'm not saying it won't bridge a gap, but what I'm saying is when we come into these places of, you know, the Buddhists believe that Buddha is the only way, the Muslims believe Allah is the only way, and the Bible says Jesus is the only way. So
if you have a belief in something,
and maybe
Allah is their only way.
But here's my witness to you. I know that it worked in my life, and I know that when I meet soldiers such as that soldier in that waiting room on a Monday night, and when I have gone to these veterans events, and they starting, you know, they don't come to these, to the wall in D.C. on Memorial Weekend and Veterans Weekend looking for prayer. They come down to pay honor to their fallen comrades and to hopefully walk into some healing from facing that situation.
Sure.
And when we, I have seen such dramatic changes. I have one Vietnam vet, his wife called me about a month and a half ago and said that a friend of hers who was an associate pastor said if anyone could help him, that it, I could, because I would cut through his excuses and cut through the, well, her expression was BS, so, and get to the point.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line, too. You got to cut through what happened to you. If you've got to let it in the past, whether even, you know, like
right.
you said, 40, 50 years, it was still bothering you or bothering somebody. You got to let go. You got to be more open-minded in order to process your life and to be able to move forward.
Well, this man, this woman said they are, they've been separated for a month, a year and a half, and they she was absolutely not interested in the, in marriage being healed. And I said, so why are you calling me? And she said, well, he just needs help, and I love him. He needs help. And so, well, fast forward the picture to today. There was several different sessions of laying hands on this man and praying for him and, you know, what we would term in Christian ministry as deliverance. They are now back together. They are now happy. They are now buying a house together, and through prayer and Bible study and belief in what the Word of God says.
Yeah, but that's your way, Michael.
They
are. I'm going to interrupt you simply because that is your way, and there's nothing wrong with your way. That was the way you found it. That's the way they found it.
Yes, ma'am.
Each person has to find their own way.
Well, you know, when you have me here to tell you this is the way that I have found it works.
Fantastic. Now, I know you do have a website, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Which is?
It is Take A Stand Ministries, takeastandministries.org. Takeastandministries.org.
Ministry, or is that plural or singular?
Plural.
Ministry or ministries?
Ministries. Phone okay. number is 703-819-7492.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off. As always, we want to have all, every side of the picture so we can give information to people, and then they choose what's best for them.
Again, thanks for having me on, and God bless each one of you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Okay, war is hell. You know, we declare it on Pop Off, and it's pretty hellish over there right now. So again, we got to have some positive thoughts. Talking about positive thoughts, how would you like to be a psychologist who actually works with immigrants, both legal and not legal in this country? That's coming up on Pop Off to find out exactly what he has to face. What are these people saying? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm only a second generation born here. My grandparents came from Romania. That was my country of origin. I'm a second generation because my parents were born here. My father was educated overseas. But, you know, we need to find out what is happening. Who is today's immigrant? Is it the same immigrant that came at the turn of the century, the last century, around 1900, 1950, 1970? Or is it a completely different type of person? And what is being done? What is that to us? How are they going to help build our country? All of that is going to be important questions that each and every one of us needs to have answered if this country is going to be the most positive and the best it possibly can be. And, you know, that's the dream of anyone who comes to this country. There is a morning after. But what does that morning after hold for each and every one of us? Is it positive? Will it be something that will be a good thing not only for the person that's coming to this country, but the people who are already here? Well, the immigration battle is really heating up in our country. Let's face it, from the White House to the local situation. And Dr. Jacob Jaffe, who's author of Land of Dreams and Hobgoblins, is a psychologist and professor who works with immigrants. Dr. Jaffe, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Nice to have you, and nice to be with you, and I enjoyed what you said about making this country the best it can be, because that's what all of us want.
This is my concern. You know, as I said, I'm only a second generation born here, so I know what it's like to have immigrant grandparents, and I know there are other people who are just the first generation. It doesn't matter, but you come to this country to offer something to make it better. Or why do you come? If it's just to do something, then go back to where you came from, then you've solved nothing. Not for us.
Right. Yeah, we come here to better ourselves. I also am the first generation in my family.
Good.
It's a story that I tell in Land of Dreams, my immigrant parents. In Hobgoblins, I talk about how these issues are politicized. Let me kind of give you the example of how our family was caught in the crossfire of this.
Okay.
My grandfather came to this country in 1913. He intended bringing his wife, my grandma, and my father, who was 10 years old, over to this country the next year. Well, 1914, World War I, 4 years of war, turmoil in Europe for another 4 years. By the time my grandfather contacted and got my grandma and my father over here, Congress was going through its usual battles of compromise, patchwork solutions rather than getting down to the heart of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they were debating, should they let someone who's been living here for 8 years, can he bring in his children? Well, they compromised, and they said he could bring in his children if they are minors. Well, my father was no longer a minor. The dilemma of this situation, if he gave his actual age, he would have been deported, would have destroyed the family. So the lives of individuals are on the line.
Okay.
I go to talk to my grandson's elementary school class. By the way, his father, my grandson's father, is an Apache Mescalera. So we have immigrants who go back a generation and also those who go back 20,000 years.
Yeah,
I ask because what should my father have done?
I would say anybody that has a right to be here is the Escalero.
Right, right. So the kid said, he should lie. Well, he did. He came to this country. He worked for 40 years. He contributed my brother, who enlisted in the Army Air Corps at age 18 after Pearl Harbor. My brother, who didn't even have a license to drive a car, became a fighter pilot, second lieutenant. Unfortunately, he was killed before his 20th birthday in combat.
Mm-hmm.
So our family contributed a lot, starting illegally. Now, the story has a happy ending, because when my father went back to Europe after World War II...
But where did you come from, by the way?
They come from the Ukraine, Russia.
Okay, mine was Romania, so same
okay.
area.
Right, the Slavic people there, yeah. So he went back, and miraculously, his town hall was still standing, and he found his birth certificate. Well, he came back, and he submitted it, and rather than being prosecuted or deported, he was allowed to retire 2 years earlier. So as I told the elementary school class, and I was glad I could tell this to the teachers and principal, justice comes to this country, although we may have to wait a long time sometimes.
You know, Dr. Jaffe, see, that's the kind of person, I don't have a problem with that. I really, really don't. My problem is someone comes to this country just to take advantage of this country.
Yeah.
They don't want to learn the language. They don't want to be the part of the culture or immerse themselves into the culture. They don't want to really be a part of it. My grandparents were the same way. Of course, they didn't speak English. They didn't speak English very well till the day they died. But they wanted their children to be assimilated. They wanted to be an American. I mean, that was the dream, not
yeah.
to just come
well,
here
you know
to take advantage.
My father became a citizen. He learned English on his own. He passed the test.
There you go.
My mother went to the same public school I went to. I wish some of the politicians who complain about people not learning English would provide what they did back in the 1930s, because they provided classes for people like my mother.
Right.
In fact, when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, I would quiz her, preparing her for her citizenship examination.
Exactly.
So we do have to do that too. But also as a psychologist, you know, people come into my office, they have problems ranging 20 years they've developed, and they want an instant solution.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me give you just two or three facts which sort of put things in perspective.
Okay.
And show how, in Hobgoblins, how the politicians sort of make mincemeat of what are solutions. In the 1950s, we allowed 400,000 Mexicans to enter the country. These were called braceros. It was a braceros program. They came in, they worked, they could return to their families, they didn't have to hide, they could save up money, support their family, maybe buy a farm, maybe they could buy a small business. Well, we had the same struggle now then as we do now, and suddenly in the 1960s, Congress eliminated the program. Now, we depend, right now, 400,000 of these illegal or undocumented workers are in construction, 400,000 our maids, housekeepers, hotel, restaurateurs. In other words, there's a mutual need. Well, when we eliminated a legal program, not only did these people in different countries need jobs, but our farmers, our construction industry needed these workers. So in a sense, when politicians shortchange and simplify for political reasons,
I'm going to keep you short here because we run short on time.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to make
I'll
sure I get
you.
The points in here. Now, I agree with you 100%. A worker program is not a problem. I have no problem with that. My problem is the idea of having an illegal in this country who is taking advantage of handouts. Your grandparents, my grandparents, when they came to this country in the 1913, they didn't have any handouts. It's harder to get programs for my parents who worked here all of their lives. My mother had a 1936 Social Security card. She started at the very beginning. I couldn't get the programs for her that the illegals are getting. This is not right.
Yeah. No, I certainly agree with you. We do have to level the playing field. We do have to require all of the people who are here. We have to work things out. We have to go through the various people. Did you know in 1986, we did do this? You know, we're sort of reinventing the wheel, and we in the process enabled 3 million people who were illegals. We sort of granted them a procedure where they could become integrated immigrants. So I do believe, you know, we have to secure our borders.
Yes.
Have to make things fair. But we really have to kind of, you know, really solve this problem in a comprehensive way.
Oh, no. And I understand. It has to be solved. Unfortunately, we're not. You're right. From the White House on down, they are not tackling the issue and saying, we need to solve the problem. We need to set up some rules and regulations. They keep skirting around it because politically it's not feasible at this time to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when the politicians in Arizona in 2004, they sealed off the borders in Arizona. No, 2004. And what happened was they couldn't get laborers. $1 billion of Arizona farm produce rotted on the fields because they couldn't get the labor at the prices the farmers needed. So what I'm saying, as a psychologist, I don't want to give simplified, oversimple solutions.
No.
But we have to kind of look at our needs. I agree with you 100%. We have to look at these people. We have to develop, I'm in rehabilitation. I believe that we have to rehabilitate all people, people who have disabilities. I think we have to ensure that people who are here are really working, paying their own way. One of the facts I came across was that over half of these so-called illegals are paying taxes. You know, we certainly should weed out those who are not paying their way, those
absolutely
who are...
Well, and that goes for anybody that's here. That's
right.
I agree. And the other thing, too, that I have a real strong feeling about this. Kids in school, you know, we should not have bilingual classes. We are in America. The language is English. Teach the classes in English and get these kids up to speed as quickly as possible in learning English. Don't teach it bilingual because if you do, they'll never catch on to the English language and nurture it.
Yeah. In Land of Dreams, I described this. When I went into school, I suddenly learned that they didn't speak Yiddish, you know, that the kids. So, and I quickly assimilated.
I think
there are lots of things, by the way, wrong with our educational system.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I went to kindergarten, I did not speak English either. I spoke Romanian.
Uh-huh.
But how quickly you learn at that age, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I do believe that we do have to develop programs where in just months or just a short year or two, we can bring people up to par, up to snuff, to really speak English. But again,
Dr.
what
Jaffe,
we talked about, too, what
you
mentioned,
100%.
And this
it
I go into in Hobgoblins, those little gremlins, and I think some of these politicians are these little gremlins.
Well, sure they are.
More interested in their political power. There are 63 lobbyists for each one of them pouring money into their coffers for them to run for office. And they've got to really, we've got to put their nose to the grindstone and say, hey, this is a problem that needs a solution and cooperation. We have to look at this from the perspective of our national needs. We have to look at it from the perspective of our security, but we also have to look at it from the needs of everyone who is involved. And I think in that way, we can really resolve the problem. But as long as we are engaged in political battles and you have extremists on both sides who give simplistic solutions And then Congress, you know, these leaders right now, everybody has spoken his word and kind of addressed the nation, this and that. And then they hide, and there's nothing that has passed. They sort of believe and hope the problem recedes, and they won't have to answer to the voters in terms of producing meaningful legislation.
Hobgoblins, where are they available?
Okay, they're available. You can go to Amazon, and you can even peek into the novels. The name is Jaffe, J-A-F-F-E. Land of Dreams is this immigrant experience. There are 25 chapters, including this one on how my illegal father became legal. Hobgoblins is also available. It's available in any bookstore. Just go to any bookstore. Tell them that you want Jacob Jaffe's either Land of Dreams or Hobgoblins, and you'll be able to really follow through. And it's an approach that I want people to open up their minds, to think of all of the perspectives, politics and immigration.
You betcha. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today.
I certainly appreciate it. You're a lovely host. I do believe we do have to kind of work to improve this country from an objective point of view and look at questions honestly, see how they develop, and then
that's
prepare.
The only way it's going to be. If we don't do that objectively and look at the ultimate goal, and that is the betterment of our country for the betterment of our people, it will never happen.
That's right. You're right.
Dr. Jaffe, it's a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being with you.
Take care now.
Bye.
America the Beautiful, rough spots and all on Pop Off. That's what it's all about. Before we run short of time here, I do want to take just a moment. This came across my desk, and I think you need to hear about this. I don't know about you folks cross-country and what's happening with your gas prices, but boy, are they going up on the West Coast. I mean, they kind of came down to about $3. Now they're going back up again. You know, 309, 315, 320. And I just heard a report this morning that we may be paying $4 a gallon of gas. I mean, So when this came across my desk, I thought I'd better share it with you. It's called NPG, NPG caps. It's what they call a revolutionary new solid fuel treatment for gasoline. And now I looked into this because there were some reports about this stuff that was like a detergent. And that was not a good thing to put in your gas tank. This is environmentally safe. It is plant-based. It's organic-based MPG caps. And it increases the gas mileage by anywhere from 10 to 30%. Now, that's not bad. And it's, you know, not very expensive at all. Matter of fact, I think it's like $1.90 a capsule. And you put this capsule in your gas tank, 20 gallons, and you get an increase of anywhere from 10 to 30% on your gas mileage. It depends on the vehicle, depends on how you drive and all that. But this, it does some other things, too, that I thought was great. It does increase your gas mileage, but it restores lost power. It lowers smoke and pollution, which means it is environmentally much better for us. It quickens coal starts, depending on what part of the country you're in. The fuel burns clean with little ash or residue. It's safe for catalytic converters and fuel filters, and it is EPA approved, which I think is wonderful. Now, I'm just going to give you a phone number. If you're interested in finding out more about it, I'm using them. I got them, and I'm finding a difference already. Matter of fact, I talked to this one gentleman. He was such a sweet person, older gentleman, and he runs his lawnmower on gas. And he has allergies, and it used to make his eyes water and everything when he'd run the lawnmower. Well, he only had to put a little fraction of one of these tablets, because this one tablet goes into 20 gallons of gasoline. But he put just a little fraction, like a little shavings, into his lawnmower gas tank, and he said it cleaned it up. He doesn't have the kind of pollution that was coming out of the gas tank before. So, you know, it works for a lot of things. It works on diesel fuel, diesel engines also, so it doesn't make any difference which autos, trucks, boats, RVs, ATVs, generators, heavy equipment, motorcycles, snowmobiles, works on everything. And it, the main thing, obviously, is to increase the mileage. I mean, that's the big thing because of the prices that we're paying. But to also have not only fuel freedom, but also a clean environment to help our environment. Lord knows we need that big time. So, again, it's FFI, Frank Independent, FFI. And if you want more information, just jot this number down, 916-871-4025, and ask for David. I've called him, and he said, oh, Mary Jane, I'll be glad to explain to anybody who wants to know more about the MPG caps. Again, it's 916-871-4025. And just say Mary Jane sent you or Popoff sent you, and you'll get all the information you need on these MPG pens. And I think it'll really help you with gas mileage. I mean, boy, we all need it right now. We all need a break. Take a break. Have a wonderful day. In the meantime, as I always say, live simply. Laugh often. Love deeply. But above all else, dare to dream. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open. It's always the positive. Move forward. Don't look back over your shoulder. You're only going to trip and fall or bump into a closet. You don't want to do that. Move forward. That's what we do on Pop-Off every day, Monday through Friday, right here at High Noon. I'll be talking with you tomorrow. In the meantime, take good care.